Welcome to Starving Nurse On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run the SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder on how to join us, we have a talk cast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com. And search for call ID 1702. Or if you want to, you can join me on twitch.tv. Yes, we are co-broadcasting over there. I watch the chat room as closely as I possibly can. And so just go to twitch.com/SFUOnCall. That's S-F-U-O-N-C-A-L-L. And you will find me there. And please feel free to join us. And for any reason, if you need to contact me, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Twitter, I have my podcast account, which is sfuoncall. Oh, shocker. You can follow me there. You can find out what the topic is for the evening. And, of course, when I post up the YouTube videos, yes, I actually have a video recording of this for those of you who are listening to the podcast. So if you want to watch the video, go to YouTube. Or you also go to twitch.tv. You can see last week's episode. And, of course, my personal account is Paul Franz. That's P-A-U-L-F-R-N-Z on Twitter. Just a reminder that, you know, I'm proud of being Catholic. I love my O's, and of course, I love tech. And if any of those disagree with you, then I would suggest you not following me. And of course, I have my Franz Games account, which is for, of course, SFB Online and Starfleet Warlord and any other ventures I happen to get involved in. So if you want to follow me, follow that one, feel free. And, of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. When it comes to ADB, not much news this week, but there is a reminder that, of course, there are many things that are available for free from ADB. One of those things, of course, is Federation Commander First Missions. You can easily download First Missions from any of the e-tellers, whether it's Warehouse 23 or Drive-Thru RPG or Wargame Vault, all three of them have that PDF available. You can just, you know, create an account and then just download it for free. And of course, they also have some playtest cards if you want for Starfleet Battle Force. Just go to www.starfleetgames.com/sfb/index.sfbf. So feel free to do that. And of course, also, there is the cadet training manual for those SFB people who want to learn the big boys. More complicated. I like it just because of it. I think it's more realistic, and the training manual is available for to download from starfleetgames.com. Just go to starfleetgames.com/cadettraining.html, and that's with a capital C and capital T. So feel free to download anytime you wish. Moving on to SFB Online. I mean, of course, we have the tournament, the Starfire Crown 2020 tournament. The other game that's in the semifinals, they got like one turn in, and then one of the players got called away due to a work emergency. You know how real life that is. And if the boss says jump, you say how high, and you jump. They're supposed to start again. I think I read it was like this weekend. Always check the discussion board over at starfleetgames.com. Just go to starfleetgames.com/discuss, and that's with one S. That's right. Yeah, I think it's one S. Easiest way is just go to starfleetgames.com, go to the main page, and go to and click on the discuss button. I'll guarantee you to get you to the right place. And just a reminder, these are the winners of the for the past six Sapphire Star tournaments. And of course, they will be starting it back up again next year with because it seems like it's been going quite well. I know that we've gotten our 16. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time, but we get those players, which is always awesome to see. When it comes to FedCom library progress, unfortunately, nothing's been happening lately. And that's not because of me. It's more of the people involved have real-life issues. And, of course, it's Christmas. So Christmas, that time of year. So the FedCom library progress is stuck for squadron-sized ships of 377 and fleet-sized ship of 278. And just one other reminder, Happy Hanukkah for those people of the Jewish persuasion. And, you know, because Christmas is coming up very soon, and I'm still figuring out. I'm definitely not going to have a podcast on the 24th. I'm not sure if I'm going to have one on the 31st. My guess at this moment in time is I will not be having a podcast on the 31st either. So we might, 17th might be the last one podcast for the year. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one and only Paul Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we got me. Barry hasn't showed up yet. Hopefully he will show up very, very, very soon. So, it's going to be interesting. The plan for this evening is to talk about supplement number two. Now, I'm hoping we'll get to that. I'm waiting for Barry to show up, so I don't want to start without him. If he doesn't show up, well, this might be a very short podcast, because I really don't want to talk about supplement number two without him, because that was the whole point of me talking about supplement number two. But in the meantime, what we can do is this. We can have it so that we talk a little bit about, of course, Christmas and having ideas about what we can do about those little things called Christmas presents. Okay. Just want to double check one thing. But in any case, this is okay. There it is. Okay. obviously, some of the simple Christmas gifts for this year, of course, is gift cards. There are multiple gift cards that are out there. One of the gift cards, actually, this was actually interesting that I found. I'm going to bring this up real quick, which was. Something here, bump, and that is okay. I'm just gonna bring up the web page, and then I will show you. And that is this. This is Illuminati confirmed take over the world. It is a Kickstarter, and that Kickstarter is for people. For basically, it's for a video game to play Illuminati. For those, I know it's not Starfleet Universe, but I found it interesting when I went to Warehouse 23 because I wanted to get supplement number two. That Steve Jackson Games was promoting this. You know, obviously it's their IP, and basically what you're doing. Is they set up kind of almost a board, which you play interactively, electronically. You know, over the internet and so forth, so you can play against multiple people. I'm not sure what kind of communications they plan on doing. Whether they plan on basically saying, okay, if you want to have your own chat or community chat or talking, figure out, you know, use like Discord or use Skype or use there's other ones I can't remember off the top of my head. Those are two major ones I can think of off the top of my head. Probably Discord server these days. That seems like to be the big thing. So if you like Illuminati, this might be the thing to get, especially if a loved one likes Illuminati. This is the thing to get, you know, which is, you know, support it. Currently, they've got 584 backers. That's $62,000. They need $210,000 in the next 2 weeks. Actually, their goal is $210,000. I'm sorry. that means they only need $150,000. So, yes, is it guaranteed? No, it's not guaranteed. But that'd be a great thing. Obviously, there'd be a piece to the puzzle kind of thing for people. You know, it's one little gift that you give people. This would be, you know, one of those things that if it all goes through, you can say, hey, you know, this is the one for you. You know, I'm giving you a present because I know you love Illuminati, so I got it because down here, if you look, let me scroll here, which is, depending upon how much you give, you can have the first three seasons. If you pledge 110 or more, the basic package is $35, which is just the game, you know. And then if you want the game plus season one, you can put in $60. Now, obviously, if you go over 110, you can get more perks and stuff, over $200, and it goes up and up and up, which is interesting. I haven't looked at all of these because some of this, yeah, okay, this is like what's this one? This is over 1,000. Now, I'm sure there's lesser to do this, which is early access to the game. It's supposed to roll out in June. And I can see this actually happening in June because the game overall is not that complicated. So I can imagine them being able to easily, because it looks like they got at least a framework done. I'm assuming that the interactive demo that they did has some of the game implemented, but some of the things like, probably server communication, things like that, that still needs to be done. And therefore, you know, they need a little more money to complete that. And also want to gauge interest in actually finishing the production of this game. So I think I saw Barry get online. There's Barry. Just give me a sec. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go back to that. And there it is. Hey, Barry, how you doing?
Hey there. Outstanding. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Got concerned there for a little bit.
What's that?
You came late.
I know.
Well, that's why I started talking about Christmas gifts. As you know,
it's almost that time.
Well, it definitely is that time, and I was actually listening to another podcaster, and he was just mentioning how actually there's already a lot of, you know, like if you go to Amazon, you got to get it in by like tomorrow. Tomorrow's like the last day to get it to you by Christmas, which if you think about it is nuts.
Well, what I'm doing is I'm giving my one daughter a early Christmas gift, and I'm going to a brick and mortar store on Saturday, picking it up and then driving it to her house Saturday.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm starting tomorrow. I'm in Ohio now, but tomorrow or Saturday I'll be driving into Kentucky, emptying out my apartment, driving over to Omaha Steaks. They actually have a storefront.
Oh, wow.
Picking up a whole bunch of steaks and then driving to her house in, or her apartment in Virginia and say, Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Now, she knows that I told her to leave. I told her to make sure she's got room in her freezer.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's one of the things that was nice in my larger house before I moved here, which is having a nice full fridge, you know, refrigerator sized fridge kind of thing. Currently, I don't have that. I don't even have a mini freezer, which, you know, I probably should look into getting, because I have room in the basement to do that. Because actually, the thing is, I brought my big freezer when I moved, but the problem is that big freezer, I looked at it and went, nope, it's never gonna get down the basement because that's the only place I could put it.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, I'm not gonna fit it down the basement. I had a mini one. This is like one of those half ones where you have the lid, you know, it's top filled.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah,
it worked many years ago because I let someone borrow it, and I put it downstairs and it never worked. So sometime between those two, it broke. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So. I think we had discussed we're going to talk about supplement number two.
Yes, we're going to discuss supplement number two, and I went over there, and I'm not sure if you heard it or not. You know, I went over to Warehouse 23, picked it up, and actually got snared into looking at the Illuminati video game.
But yeah, oh, video game.
Yeah, they have it on Kickstarter. They they have to raise $210,000. They've currently raised $62,000, but you know in 17 days they need another $150,000 basically. To
interesting
put towards the Kickstarter before you know they actually can do the game, which is understandable.
Right.
You know, the video was pretty good.
Yeah.
It looks like the interactive demo was pretty good. You know, obviously there's a lot that still needs to be done for it. You know, I'm willing to bet there's a lot to be done. You can make an interactive demo like that and not have it working hardly at all. You just need certain pieces there, you know.
Yeah. So, any case, have you popped open the PDF yet?
Yes, I have.
On page 23,
whoa,
right-hand column, is a paragraph that I felt was amusing. Players needn't worry about ADB forgetting about X-Ships. Every attempt will be made in the future to keep this supplement up to date with new products as they are created for the mainframe game. The players of Starfleet Battles, both those who will play the supplement and those who will ignore it, will not be forgotten.
Yeah.
I don't think... Yeah. And then they came out with that supplement. Like, oh, we never made that.
Yeah, well... You know, come on. Ow. Damn it. Sore throat. Yeah, but the the issue was that when they put out this and actually put out Module X2, which was probably pretty much based on these rules. The big issue with that was, of course, that it was the weapons were so freaking overpowerful. It was just insane. The thing is, I'm reading these rules and going, you know, this doesn't sound that bad. You know, it sounds reasonable. Now, I never really played like X2 generation ships that much, though. I looked at some of those ships back in the day at the X2 module. I'm going, these shields are just freaking nuts. You know, shields.
Yeah. So, the shields themselves weren't. It was the reinforcement system.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that definitely.
Firepower. X-ships obviously have more powerful weapons. Promise how much more? The standard type, one phasers. Okay, so let's start with
Actually, before we start with the weapons, let's start with maneuvering.
Yes, I was just going to go there. So, for cruisers, can make hex at a cost of equal to 4 hexes of movement. So, cheaper, high energy turns, can perform emergency decel. So, these were written before every ship had that capability. Can perform a phase of maneuvers at a cost equal to 4 hexes of movement, and all X cruisers have a turn mode of C.
Yeah, but actually,
So the Klingons got.
to be honest, that's not the one thing that really caught my attention.
Oh.
Maneuver class one is what got my attention.
Oh, freighters and monitors.
Freighters and monitors. They can make hets.
Yes.
Because can you imagine?
Yeah, I know.
It's like hitting
Know.
one of those. It's nuts.
I know. I know. I know.
Anyway, let's continue on. I just wanted to point that out. That was kind of
All
crazy.
maneuver classes, except for freighters and monitors. Excel is 3 times current speed or plus 15, whichever is larger. Has positron flywheel.
Well, let's ignore the positron flywheel because later on that's actually, I have not looked at the original rules where I don't know if it was optional in the original rules or not. I know later on,
It was optional,
yeah,
yeah.
because like
But later on, but I don't think anything has it. I know that tournament cruisers don't use positron flywheel.
Definitely not. Definitely not. I think it was a Federation system, you know.
Now,
Now,
all X ships have plus one bonus on quick reverse.
right.
And minus two bonus on the first two higher energy turns.
And
Two free hits.
yeah, the if you did you look at the heck costs
They're lower.
for each, depending upon it's not even just lower. It is based on the size class of ship, it gets cheaper and cheaper and
Yes.
cheaper.
Yeah,
So
frigates are like cheap, dirt cheap.
they're cheap. They go down to two from five down to
I
two.
know.
It's like,
Yeah.
what? They're
Yeah.
crazy insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, then there's the
But
change of
now,
speed for all of the, for at least for the
yes.
frigates. Change of speed within every six impulses instead of every eight.
Now, X 2.6. That is
Oh yeah. Oh,
allow
I like
X
that. I
ships
like that
to
rule. I
use
like
the
that
free
rule.
movement, and non-X ships must plot their movement a quarter turn in advance for each generation of inferiority.
I think that goes a little overboard, honestly.
Well, that one is optional.
Right. But I think, between second gen and general war, I think that would have been best if it was just like just eight impulses.
Yeah.
I think that's enough. I think four impulses between generations would be good enough. Possibly,
Yeah.
I know that there is nothing for the when it comes to the current rules, and you know, regular X ships and general war.
Yeah.
But this was supplement number
okay,
two.
Okay, third, advanced fire control systems.
Yeah.
Still there?
Yep. Yeah, I'm still here. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Okay, so the effective range, okay. But the third change was to the electronic warfare equipment. Each second generation ship was given finer resolution targeting computers. The new system could also immediately and automatically detect the type of drone being fired at that ship and when the drone is 10 hexes or less from the target ship.
Oh, yeah. I saw that and went, wow.
Yeah.
Auto detect drones. Like, what kind? Okay, what kind of drone is that?
Yeah.
Oh, and we'll get to drones later. Some of the improvements there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. So then, electronic warfare. Next page, X3.3. Second generation X ships may use up to 12 points of power to generate ECM or ECCM. They may not generate more than 6 points of ECM. So you can have up to 6 points of ECM plus 6 points of ECCM. In addition, you've got 2 points of ECCM at no energy cost.
Yep.
And then your shuttles are assumed to have an ECM rating equal to their ship if they're within six hexes of it. But they also have a built-in ECM.
Mm-hmm.
And then fighters and pseudo fighters are penalized with 4 additional points of ECM. So basically, since I play mostly tournament, it's like, but yeah, ships are just like, and they have the power to use a lot of ECM and ECCM.
Oh, yeah. 12 points of EW. Dang, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm glad at least they put in at least one limiter, which is like, okay, you only can generate a maximum of 6 of each.
Right.
Yeah. So at the very least, no, that part is limiting. So you can't generate like 12 points of
right.
ECCM or ECM, you know. So it makes it
right.
So it makes it impossible to hit it.
Yeah, you can overcome its ECM.
Right.
Yeah. And then shields. Now, reinforcement is basically plus half as much.
Yep. Exactly.
So,
specific reinforcement, 1 point of power gives you two reinforcement, and for general reinforcement, 1 point of power gives you 1 reinforcement.
Yep.
which is insane. You know?
Yeah. Combine that with 5 point batteries and an X cruiser with 5 5-point batteries can soak a plasma R on reinforcement.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of course, that leaves, that's a 25 points of battery power that you've just spent. So, you know, that's, even an X, second generation X ship is going to have a hard time replacing that power.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I don't think, even, you know, that a cruiser might have 5 batteries. But, you know, and your frigates or destroyers, they're not going to be having 5 batteries. You know.
Actually, the frigates have 6.
Oh, that's nuts.
But the frigates, basically, they said, okay, it's got to depend on the batteries. And it has very little power, so once the batteries are dead, it can't charge them back up.
Mm-hmm.
Or it takes forever to charge them back up. Yeah, destroyers only have four batteries, but
that's weird. that the frigates have more batteries than the destroyers. That's what you said, right?
Frigates have six.
Right.
The destroyers have four.
Right.
And the cruisers have five. But the frigates have very, very little energy.
Right.
So it takes them forever to recharge their batteries.
Right. So basically, everyone has to sit still and recharge. But I can still hit.
Right. Now. Now, phasers are a little weird. So you can overload your phasers.
Yes.
But I think the phaser capacitors are tied to each individual phaser.
Well, they've always been like that.
No. In other words, let's say I have six phaser ones. I have a 6-point capacitor. If the phaser is destroyed, I lose 1 point of capacitor. But let's say I fire one phaser, and then another phaser is destroyed. I didn't lose any power in my capacitor.
In theory.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, it depends.
In theory.
If
I fire one phaser.
Yeah, but Barry, remember, if you have, let's say you start with six phaser ones on a ship, and that's all you have. So you have phaser capacitor of six. If you lose one of those phasers, now you only have five. Because the capacitors
will outfire the phaser. And
that's if it's destroyed. If it gets destroyed, you now only have five.
No. Listen to what I'm saying.
Okay.
I fire one phaser, and a different phaser is destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
I still have 5 points of power in my phaser capacitor.
Correct. Oh, yeah.
Okay. This one's not the same way. It's necessary to record the overloading of individual phaser capacitors.
Right.
Once overloaded, that phaser must be fired overloaded, unless the energy is wasted, in which case it could be fired normally with reserve power or armed normally on the next turn.
Right, but
phaser capacitors are in effect twice as large, but I think it's saying that if a phaser is destroyed, the phaser capacitor is individually tied to that phaser, and it's destroyed with that phaser, and any power in it is destroyed with that phaser. It's not a overall capacitor.
Let me look at this again. Energy of one could not be used to fire two phasers normally. Yeah, that is a weird note.
Yes. And then it also says the phaser capacitor is in effect twice as large, although the doubled energy of one phaser could not be used to fire two phasers.
Right. That's the one that's kind of weird. Because how do you delineate between the two? It's like that you have, jeez. Yeah. It's like is you have a single capacitor for everything.
Yeah.
But let me finish. But if you overload, it doesn't really go into a phaser, the general overall phaser capacitor system per se.
Yeah.
No,
there's some ambiguity there.
Right, because according to the rules, you must overload a phaser in energy allocation.
Right.
And if you're doing that explicitly, then what happens with that energy when you don't fire it? You know?
Well, then it
does it just dissipate?
It holds.
Yeah.
No, it holds.
Right.
The decision to charge it is made at the start during energy allocation.
Okay.
This is due to the necessity to charge individual phaser capacitors. It's necessary to record the overloading of an individual phaser capacitor. Once overloaded, that phaser must be fired overloaded. Unless the energy is wasted, lost, in which case it can be fired normally with reserve power or armed normally on the next turn. So does that mean that you have... It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't think that was thought through that well.
Yeah, because it's like it's not... Because read it. Once overloaded...
It doesn't...
Once overloaded, the last... That phaser must be fired as overloaded unless the energy is wasted, i.e. lost or discharged into space, in which case it could be normally fired reserve power or armed normally on the next turn.
Yeah.
So it seems like to me that to overload it, you're charging that phaser explicitly, and then that energy doesn't go into the capacitor, but is discharged at the end of the turn. That's what it seems like it's saying.
You could discharge the capacitor and then fire is standard on reserve power.
Yeah, I did not read the example on this. They might have gone through it in the example. But anyway, let's move on from the craziness, which is called second generation X-ship phasers.
Well, now there's rapid pulse.
Yeah.
So any phaser one can be fired. A non-overloaded phaser may be fired as two non-overloaded type 3 phasers, or an overloaded phaser 1 may be fired as two overloaded type 3 phasers, or an overloaded phaser 1 may be fired as an non-overloaded Gatling phaser.
Yep. And they're established with the burst must be fired at the same target in the same impulse. In this case, all fire resolved at once. Duh. That ship cannot fire once, check for damage, and ship fire again.
Okay, now, disruptors. Holy
crap,
Lord, they make disruptors.
Oh, for love of Pete.
First of all, they gave disruptors capacitors.
Yeah.
Second of all, they gave it the ability to double overload.
Yeah, that's... And they changed the maximum range for the overloads too. Max range of 12 hexes. Yay!
Yes, and they also changed the damage and accuracy tables. Yeah.
Please don't. Let me look.
Yeah, these disruptors are.
Give me that. Oop, wrong
and
one.
And the disruptor capacitor can hold up to 8 points of energy.
Oh, for the love of Pete. That's interesting. Oh, jeez.
What?
Yeah. Big surprise. It basically.
So.
It's a built-in UIM. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure...
Basically, at range 8, a double overloaded capacitor does 15 points of damage and hits on a 1 through 5.
Oh, for love of... That's nuts.
It's basically just 1 point less damage than a photon, hits on a 1 through 5 out to range 8, and... it has the advantage over a photon that there's no holding energy. Yeah. Disruptors now are more powerful than photons.
Yeah, that's nuts. Yeah, that's truly nuts.
That's nuts. And then they gave the Klingon 6 of these disruptors.
I remember that one.
Yeah, it's like, good Lord, you know, like, and it can fire double overload every turn, given the power.
Yeah.
Photons can fire every turn.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, better than it used to be, but and they're more accurate. They are more accurate. So the photons out to range 8 have a hit number of 1 through 5, which is nice.
Yep.
But they still have a holding cost. And then, let's see, fusion beams can fire every turn.
Yes, but...
and non-overloaded can be held for no power cost.
Right, but must be fired or discharged on the second turn.
Yes. Which, in some ways, the fusion beams got nerfed because on a regular ship, they can be held forever for a cost of 1.
Mm-hmm.
And Hellbores can be held for no power cost until the next turn.
But
overloads can't be held.
Overloads, right.
PPDs can fire every turn.
Again, remember that you must be fired on the second turn for Hellbores. The weapons can be fired with no power cost until next turn, but must be fired on the turn after the turn on which arming is completed. So again, nerfed. Because currently, yeah, it's a pain that they have to do a rolling delay. But
yeah,
they can just keep it going. And then, so when they're ready to fire, they can fire. Obviously, yeah, it's an energy drain, mm-hmm. but they can still. Do that, you know, if you charge your weapons, like when you're approaching your battle, you have to make sure you fire within the first 2 turns or you have to discharge it.
Right. Now, interestingly enough, PPDs can be fired every turn and do not have a holding cost. And it doesn't say any no holding cost, but apparently PPDs do not have. They can be held forever. Doesn't say that you can't.
Yeah, unless you're an overloaded PPD.
Yeah. Now, one bizarre thing is that disruptors, photons, Hellbores cannot fire at range 0 even if they're overloaded.
Oh, jeez. Wow. I did not realize that. I looked at the chart and I didn't realize that there was no range 0.
Not fire at range 0. PPDs have a minimum range of 3.
So they still have the normal myopic zone.
Yeah, but the myopic is closer.
No. It's always been 3. course, then you have the webcasters.
Webcasters.
Yep.
8 points of energy.
Yep. For second gen. Love those notes when it's like, we're releasing the supplement number 2. And these are weapons that you don't know about, but we have to put it here anyway.
Yeah. Seeking weapons, drones. Yeah. Okay. So there's two types of drones, type 9s and type 10s. Type 10.
Jeez.
Yeah. Oh,
for love of... Yeah. One space drones.
Yeah. But look at the endurance.
Yeah. 25 freaking turns.
Yeah. Oh. And they have built-in ATG.
You want to talk about ramping it up, the freaking drones? That's nuts.
Oh, it gets even better. 8 tracks hold 8 spaces of drones and can fire 2 drones per turn.
Please tell me at least there's 12 impulse delay between those two, or
8 impulse delay.
Oh, freaking hell, man.
The Klingon has 4 of these racks. It can launch 8 drones per turn.
Yeah.
And they take 8 damage. It takes 8 damage to kill the drones.
Mm-hmm.
And it can launch 8 of them per turn.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's just nuts. I gotta love this one. I gotta love this one. Did you read X5D.4? Anti-drone launchers were made obsolete by Aegis Fire and Rapid Pulse ability of phasers. Second generation X-ships never included anti-drones. They were removed from many first generation X-ships to save space and weight.
Yeah. So using all those phasers against the drones gets real expensive in terms of energy.
Yep. Which is interesting.
Yeah. And the Kazini has 6 of these 8 racks.
Oy. This is just insane.
Now, plasma torpedoes.
Yes.
Interesting. So they can fast load your torps, and they go down one size class doing that. So an R becomes an S. And when you fast load, you can't fast load. But you can fast load envelopers.
Oh, yeah.
So you could fast load an EP, an R launcher can fast load an EPTS.
And then, of course, then there is
and the reloadable pseudo.
Yep.
Which can also be fast loaded.
Yeah. Yeah, but they can load in a single turn, but will be one size smaller than the tube may normally charge. So if it's an R launcher, they only can do a fast loading of a pseudo of type S.
Well, if it fast loads it.
Yes.
But an R could could reload a pseudo R in 2 turns.
Yep. And I like this idea overall.
Mm-hmm.
The big issue, of course, and the, I'm sure people will see. Actually, no, that's not quite true. I did not read that, and I assumed that. Which was that you couldn't load the plasma launcher with both reloading the pseudo and reloading the torpedo itself at the same time. I assume that.
Oh.
And it doesn't say that.
Why can't you? Hang on a second.
Yeah, it can be reloaded at the same time as a real torpedo. It actually explicitly says it, that you can.
Okay.
Now, originally I was thinking that, you know, that'd be a bad thing. It's like, what's the point? Because you can't do both at the same time, but actually explicitly it says, yes, you can do both at the same time.
Yeah, but you have a quarter turn delay between firing a real and a pseudo. Which is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. Even X-ships don't have PBDs to simulate shotguns or enveloping torpedoes. Darn.
Yeah. Transporters have a range of 8.
Of course.
Yeah. And can be used twice per turn.
That's wow. You gotta be kidding me.
Tractor beams have
a... Oh, continue. Sorry. I was reading ahead.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
I was looking at the ESGs.
Oh, yes. Well, let's go to tractors first. Tractors,
yeah,
extended range, and they have, at extended ranges, they cost a little less energy.
Right.
Let's see. Expanding ESGs. Okay, they're basically, they can be used every... There's no one-turn cooldown, but they cannot be activated twice within a period of 32 impulses.
So it's still two turns between using for the most part.
Yeah. and the capacitor was not increased in size.
Right.
So ESGs are like, slightly better, but not much.
Right.
Barely.
Exactly. It's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
But I still agree with Gary and what to do with the actual second generation X-ships, the retake on them, which is the possibility of having so the ESGs have kind of a pulse mode like was in FedCom.
Kind of like FedCom, yeah.
Yeah. Which I think that's an excellent idea myself. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Go chase that little rabbit for a little bit.
Right. And then command cruisers have 2 special sensors which are not blinded by weapons fire.
Aye. I'm assuming that there is no such thing as a second generation X ship, which is a scout, which that's the function.
Well, the command cruiser doubles as a scout.
Right. And I didn't reread the beginning of the whole lay of the land, you know, the history of what the second generation is supposed to be, because it's supposed to be during the, what's the what wars?
It's after Andromeda.
Right. Something worse. Basically, the whole idea was that you had...
Oh, Trade Wars, yeah.
Trade Wars, thank you. That is, you have a small amount of ships. You no longer have these huge fleets flying around. The whole idea, it was all economics, basically. And you had the X-ships to impose those economics. And you might have some combat if there is a... You know, a conflict over those economics, basically. So,
yeah.
So there's no reason to have a scout, because you're not going to have these large fleets where you have a scout, which all its job is to do is scouty type things. When you need is a command cruiser, which has the scout channels.
Right.
You know.
And the fact that they're not blinded by weapons fire means that it makes sense to put the special sensors on a powerful ship.
Yep.
Power systems, pretty much the APRs are now AWRs. And the batteries hold 5 points of power.
Right.
Other than that, and there's a lot more power. The warp engines are bigger. Oh, going back to plasmas.
Yes.
In some ways, they did not modify these. What was the rule for making 40-speed plasmas?
Sabo.
There are no Sabos in second generation here.
Well, that, I think, is a function of when Sabos were added.
Yeah.
Because Sabos weren't part of the original Commander's Edition.
It was added in Captain's Edition.
It was added in the Captain's Edition. That's when they actually had Speed 40 Plasma.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why they're not even mentioned here.
Right, right.
Now, I don't... When it comes to the X2 module... I'm not sure if they added them or not. Because I think the X2 module actually was that added in the Captain's? No, it wasn't.
I thought they were.
Well, it's possible they were. Yeah. Yeah, I think they were.
Yeah. Because at that point they realized that you needed 40-speed plasmas. Especially on an open map where you couldn't run them out. Or otherwise, people just ran them out.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
All right. So.
Let's get to
they
cloaking.
Had cargo. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, it only has a +4 instead of a +5.
And?
But the fade out and fade in is faster.
Two impulses.
Two impulses.
Which is crazy fast.
Yes.
Note, the higher EW capabilities of X-ships of either generation can have a dramatic effect on retained lock-on equation for non-X-ships that can easily result in establishing a lock-on to a cloaked non-X ship. No kidding.
Well, I don't know about that. You only have a maximum of 8 points of ECCM. I guess it helps.
Yeah. Remember, as it is, to break lock-on is not an easy task. Overall, normally you have to do slowdowns to hit those brackets. Because if it fails the first time, because it might be without EW at all, you might have a 2/3 chance of breaking lock-on.
Right.
Depending on how fast you're going at the time.
Yeah.
And then you get slower and slower and slower you know.
Second generation X ships automatically detect all automatic mines within 2 hexes.
Jeez.
Yeah. And use Aegis fire control when sweeping mines.
Yep.
Which means you can sweep mines from outside the range of the mine exploding, so.
Uh-huh. Well, that's exploding mines. They're not talking about captor mines.
Correct. They're only talking about auto mines.
Right, because captor mines can...
Doesn't say exploding. It said, yeah.
It says all mines here. But obviously, depending upon...
No, it says all automatic mines.
Yeah.
Not captors.
Right. Yeah, actually, captor mines are controlled.
Right, right. You could have a mine armed with something other than explosion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I thought I saw something. Shuttles. Shuttles, there was something on shuttles. Yeah, shuttles are a little harder to destroy, not much. They are faster, they have no built-in phaser. They cannot be used as scatter packs or suicide, only as
Marine.
Well, you can use them for wild weasels.
Okay.
Yeah. But they are faster, which is nice.
Yeah, but hey, the good, well, for some people, the good part about the shuttles is that they no longer have a phaser.
Yeah.
Which means that you don't have to worry about them, you know, having people, if you ever get into a knife fight, you don't have to worry about people launching their shuttles to get on that down shield against the ship, because they launch the shuttles, whoop-de-doo-woo, they launch your shuttles, you know?
Yeah. There is no suicide fusion beams.
Okay. That's interesting.
Now I'm down to page, I guess, the master weapons chart.
Let me look where that is. Dun, dun, dun. Text, 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 text. There it is. Got it.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Didn't mean to do that. Hold on. There. And. Okay, like that. People who are watching. There. You know, type ones are the same. Fusions look the same. Overloaded fusion look the same. I didn't see any rules that said that they couldn't suicide.
Oh, I didn't see any rules that said they could.
Right.
Yeah. Now, photon table, look at that. That's a totally different table.
Yeah. Oh, that's a totally different table. Damn. Disruptors, of course.
Yeah.
I already saw that they were a totally different table. which was freaking nuts.
Yeah, it is.
At least, and this is minor consolation.
At 9 to 12, it goes down a little in damage.
Yep. For the overloaded and double overloads.
Yeah.
Which I almost think is a mistake that the standard is still 5.
Right.
Because of just the way it's specified in the rules. You know.
I know.
And the rest look like they're just the same old, same old.
Hellbores.
Oh, that's a little different. 1 to 8. Hit the hit of 10. 20 points. That 20 points of 20 points of damage out the range 8. Oy.
Overloads do 25 points out to range 12.
Right. Oy. And of course,
photons, disruptors, and hellbores do not fire at range 0.
Wow. So one, the only way to protect yourself against a second generation X ship is to get to range 0?
Yeah, but then all of a sudden its P1s turn into Gatlings.
Yeah.
Now the TPD has a, look at that, range of 3 through 12.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Ah.
Now.
Yeah, that expanded.
Now what it doesn't, say,
mm-hmm.
and I can presume, but I don't know, based on other weapons, is that the overload range goes out to 12 also. It doesn't say that.
Got a good point there. It never mentions that in the rules.
Right. But I think that was part of that is that the PPD hadn't been finalized when this supplement came out.
Right, because, well, at the same time, they didn't mention overloaded PPDs. So I'm assuming they knew what the PPDs would do.
It did mention overloads. It said it can't be held.
Right.
But it didn't say. Yeah. So it can be overloaded, but it didn't say.
It didn't.
So given that disruptors, photons, and hellbores can overload and fire at range 12, I'm going to say PPDs can do that too.
Yeah.
Especially since that one.
Mm-hmm.
Now yeah, that makes I the think, PPD
yeah.
oh, that makes, awesome.
Oh.
Because now your overload range went, instead of from 4 to 10, from 3 to 12. Now it's usable as an overload.
True. That is very true.
That is huge.
Okay. Right. Okay. I was looking back. I was hoping to see, like, for heavy weapons, all heavy weapons, you know, can be overloaded out to range 12. But no.
Yeah, this supplement, they didn't get everything.
Right.
Obviously.
Oh, agreed.
Yeah. Let's look at the various heavy cruisers.
Sure.
So starting on page 48, the ISC heavy cruiser.
Okay.
So she's got
4 PPDs, Two plasma.
Or PPD.
Two plasma S's.
S's. Nine phaser ones.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I notice is that there is no phaser threes.
Yeah. Well, why have a phaser three when you can have a phaser one that can pulse?
Yep.
And fire the Gatling.
And of course, the weird,
but interestingly enough,
if you really think about this is really weird. In that, for the ISC, this is specifically to the ISC. And that is, those rear plasmas were meant and designed as defensive plasmas.
Right.
And they swapped them out for plasma S's, which are not in any way, shape, or form defensive. Except, obviously, you can fire it as a shotgun, but
yeah,
that's one turn. You only can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you can, and it's not like, but because I didn't see anything that says with a shot, if you launch it as a shotgun, you can launch the plasmas one at a time.
It doesn't say that.
Right. So that means you can do, quote unquote, defensive using plasma Fs, which obviously the big thing with second generation is that you didn't have PFs. You didn't have fighters for the most part. Right. So there was no reason to have defensive plasma Fs.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, yeah.
But at the same time.
Yeah, fighters and pseudo fighters had 4 points of ECM against them automatically.
But at this point, if you think about it, then why had the plasmas at all? You know, I mean, there's plasma makes no.
Because you've overrun somebody, and now you want to drop plasmas to keep them from chasing you.
True. Yeah, this is definitely Trade Wars. Because I'm looking at some of the other boxes. You got hold. You got cargo.
Yeah.
You got six shuttle.
Right.
You know.
But remember, they don't have phasers. But it's got a lot of weasels. And the hold can hold things like extra shuttles.
Right. But then, don't you have to uncrate them during the scenario?
It can hold one active shuttle per, or two inactive shuttles. The inactive shuttles you can't use. And an active one can be moved from the hold to the shuttle bay using deck crews.
Right. Okay. Copyright 1985. Wow.
Yeah.
That was my my freshman year going into my sophomore year of college.
Yeah, I was I graduated from college in 86, so
89 here.
Junior when this came
of course
out.
I went to Drexel, so it was a 5-year college.
Then the Solian.
Yep. Just bring that up right now.
Two webcasters. Four disruptors. 10 P1s.
WTF. Okay.
What's that?
I'm looking at the back end. And I'm currently. I don't see anything about it. They say web.
Got two webs in the back. It's got web in the back.
Right, which is normally you know, the mark like snare if they're a web snare. And web is a web generator.
It's before the Commander's Edition third one came out.
Yeah, I know. This is one of those things they mentioned in the rules.
So the snare hadn't been invented yet.
Because that's one of those things that was kind of needed. If this was, somebody tells me if for Module X2, this was re-released and had web snares.
Oh, when was it re-released?
Well, I assume it was re-released when they created Module X2.
Oh.
Because there was a Module X2.
When did they... There was?
Yes.
I don't think that had second generation X-ships, though.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that it did. And then AAB never re-released it.
Oh.
I feel pretty confident in saying that. Yeah.
Okay, they had a Module X2, but they never re-released that.
Right.
I did not know
when
about
that. When they realized second generation X-ships was awful. It was crap. They should have never done it because it was so unbalanced.
Well, this was unbalanced.
You can say that again.
Yeah. The Orion got 5 option mounts.
Oh, that's one thing I didn't read up. Go back. Because I'm wondering if there's anything special about those option mounts.
Because
I know there was a section on the Orions. Interesting. Go up. Because anything. Oh, I might have to look at the actual Orion section. Probably do. If there's any hope. Anything. No, I don't see anything there. Oh, let's talk about the Masters. Oh, I don't like that. I'm just running pirates. We're going to... Okay, so nothing special about the option mounts.
Okay.
Because I was wondering that possibly they changed the option mounts, so all option mounts were considered center line.
Yeah. One would think that they'd be a little stronger than most.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, I don't see anything special about them.
Yeah, that ship they rated it 300 BPVs, and I'm just not seeing it.
Agreed. Especially without any weapons in it yet. You know?
Yeah. The Gorn? That's interesting. Got 2 plasma Fs and 2 plasma Rs. 12 T1s.
Wow. Oh, what? Man. Dang it, man. I'm just thinking about the tournament cruisers. And center hull, gone.
Oh.
It's got 6 center hull.
Well, it's got six forward, six aft, and six center.
Yeah.
And six cargo.
Yep, and of course, cargo gets hit after all of the hull is the forward hull is gone. That means forward hull and center hull is gone.
I thought that cargo got hit on
first.
A seven.
Gets hit first, yes.
First. Just,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The hydrant, nothing. I mean, it's got three bores and four fusions. That's only one more bore than the tournament cruiser.
Yep.
And it doesn't have any Gatlings. Just got P1s back there,
right,
which can be used as a Gatling, but they cost more power to fire that way.
Oh, the hydrants got hosed.
Yes, they did. Other than the fact, yeah, it's only got four bores. Or three. Three bores.
Yep. Yep. Because the BCH, you know, Hydrogen Overlord, has three bores.
Right. In fact, the Tournament Cruiser has four fusions and two bores.
Oh, that's something I don't know. Does, and actually I assume it doesn't. Because even back in the days, I'm thinking about fighters.
It doesn't have any fighters.
Exactly.
This one doesn't have any fighters. Yeah. And if you look at it compared to a tournament cruiser has five P1s, this has six. And then the tournament cruiser has two Gatlings, and this has the two P1s instead. This is not much. I mean, obviously, if you put this in a tournament, it would hose anything it ran into.
Right.
But it's not that.
Is that worth 325?
No.
Where do people get this idea? It's worth 325. And they have the Lyran.
Lyran is not that great.
Yeah, six disruptors, of course.
Sure, she's got six. Yeah.
Whoa. 10 phaser ones?
Yeah. But only two ESGs.
Yeah.
Now, the Kazini could... that is a powerful ship.
Okay, give me
10 P1s. Six drones.
Yeah, four disruptors.
Six drones.
Yep.
How do you know? I'm sorry, but two ESGs against those drone racks?
Yeah, I know. It's going to be obliterated.
Yeah, because those drone racks, six of those, it's 96 points of damage to take out the drones it fires in one turn.
It's nuts. Then we get to the...
The Lyran only has 40 points of ESG. It's...
Oh, understood. Understood. You know, the Zinnings is going to kill it.
Yeah. Sure, it's got only four disruptors instead of six, but...
I'm looking at the Romulan. whatever. Whatevs. That hasn't changed all that much.
You
know,
yeah.
The S's are upgraded to R's.
Add a couple extra phasers.
No, Well, some of the Phaser 3s got converted to Phaser 1s, basically. That's all.
Klingon is vicious.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Usually the Klingons get all the best toys.
It's got 11 T1s. 4 drones. 6 disruptors. I think Zinni is actually
what the heck, man?
What?
They added more wing. They added 2 wing phasers.
Yeah.
And they removed one of the waist phasers.
Yeah.
Two of the waist phasers. Like, huh? Pull back.
I know.
You know. Oh, jeez, a freaking flip.
Then they added 2 phasers in the front.
Yep.
Oh, this a la the B-10.
Oh, this is nuts. They got a real upgrade.
Heck yeah, they did.
Compared to everybody else. It's like...
I still think the Zin is more powerful. I think a drone is more powerful than a disruptor with that kind of a drone rack.
That's true. You got a point there. Whew.
And the feds got hosed.
Let me look at the. Yeah. And surprise, surprise, how many photons they have? They have 4.
4. Hey, I've got 16 P1s. Yeah.
That's nice.
But against a Zin or a Klingon with, let's see, 4 drones or 6 drone racks?
No drone racks all at those all. Extra phase.
What's that?
The Fed has no drone racks whatsoever.
Right. It was 1985 before they started putting drone racks in Feds.
Yeah, because they put drone racks in the Feds for defensive. You know, they have those G-racks.
Right. Yeah.
And in this case, they would need it. If they're going against a Klingon, yes, they would definitely need the drone racks.
Yes, they do. Well, if we just put enough phasers in there, well, and you end up using all your energy to fire at drones, and you have nothing for offense, and gee, 4 photons versus 6 disruptors, and the Klingon gets to fire his phasers, and all your phasers are doing drone defense, yet the Fed gets hosed.
Yeah, this is no way, any shape or form, balanced at all. This is... It's nuts.
Now, having said that, the command cruiser version, which has special sensors, you could use the special sensors to break drone locks.
Good point. And it got the additional phases that it can use for defensive measure, but still, it needs the additional phases just to have the additional damage just to equal what the Klingon's doing now.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best ship of everything here is the Klingon.
Yeah. The Klingon and the Zin is actually, I think, more powerful than the Klingon.
That's debatable. But I think the Klingon and the Zinni are pretty matched overall, because of the Klingons, the more phasers which it can use for defensive fire against the drones that are going to be coming from the Zinni.
The Klingon has 11 phaser ones. The Zinni has 10.
Right.
but it's 6 drone racks versus 4. That's
right. And the big thing there is, of course, the drone racks don't cost any energy to use.
Right.
That's why I'm thinking overall, I think those two are pretty balanced against each other overall. You know,
I'd give the edge to the Zen.
Might be, but Barry, compared to all the rest, those two are the closest.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. I don't know. The ISC might kick ass.
It's possible.
Four PPDs and two S's.
Got a point there.
And the PPD can actually use overloads.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's getting late, Barry. It's almost 11 o'clock. Time to shut this thing down, and because I need to go and package the sucker up, put it up, and as is, I'm going to probably be up for the next half hour. And I still got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
I do too.
So, well, Barry, it was a pleasure.
Yeah, same here.
Talking about the olden days of supplement number 2 when they said, oh, this is great, the second generation X ships. And they like, you got it. Are you kidding me?
It needed balance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And to tell you the truth, to be fair, if they had spent some time balancing it, I think it could have been a viable product, but they gave up on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of those things that I think it was pretty much pushed out the door, if I recall correctly, because on the timeline, ADB was still being, they were just the designers. They weren't the actual producers. That was still, I forget the name of the company that basically died.
Task Force Games.
Thank you. That was when there was just they want to get the product out. I think that was before. Yeah. That was before the interim. Yeah, that was before the interim, which was an interesting time when they were in the in negotiations to basically shut down, get the rights to produce SFB from Task Force Games to ADB, because Task Force Games was just, they were going under, you know.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about Task Force Games basically being run out of a locker. Basically, at one point, right before before everything was shut down and so forth. So,
yeah.
But anyhow, Barry, you have a good night.
Been a pleasure.
Yes.
You too. Okay.
Bye. See ya. Okay, bye. So, we got a wonderful. Going over supplement number 2 could bring back memories of those years, 1985. So it's been 35? Yeah, it's been 35 years. Dang, man, it's been a long, long time that SFB has been in existence. You know, and this, and I know people have enjoyed them, and people still enjoy it, you know, playing SFB online. And if you go to Facebook, you'll see people who are playing, you know, FedCom, which is still has the flavor of SFB, you know, but a little simpler, can easily be picked up a lot faster, and people can learn and don't have all those rules. Now, as I've mentioned multiple times, SFB, if you really want to boil it down, you can probably boil it down to 2 pages. A lot of those individual rules are basically due to lawyers, rules lawyers, that had to go through all of the situations and define exactly how that situation was played out. What's the rule that applies in that situation? And most part, there are some general rules that you can do that with, but it's one of those crazy things. That's what ADB tried to do with FedCom, which is like, okay, let's pull out, let's say here are all the rules. Unless, we say you can do it, you can't do it, And a lot in other cases, of course, just whatever makes the most sense, So, anyhow, and with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.